The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Having initially downplayed his condition, the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson was moved to intensive care last night as his coronavirus symptoms worsened. Donald Trump, speaking at the White House press conference last night, explained that he had asked US pharmaceutical companies working on experimental coronavirus drugs to approach Boris Johnson's doctors and offer their help.
I also want to send best wishes to a very good friend of mine and a friend to our nation, Prime Minister Boris Johnson. We're very saddened to hear that he was taken into intensive care this afternoon, a little while ago. And I've asked two of the leading companies, these are brilliant companies, Ebola, AIDS, others, they've come with the solutions and just have done incredible jobs. And I've asked them to contact London.
You mentioned that you were asking U.S. drug companies to provide treatment to the British Prime Minister. What sort of treatment is that? Is that something that is available?
Well, it's a very, it's a very complex treatment of things that they've just recently developed and that they have a lot of experience with having to do with something else, but recent for this. And they'll be, they've already concurred, they've already had meetings with the doctors, and we'll see whether or not they want to go that route. But when you're in intensive care, it's a big deal. So they're there and they're ready. I think we have three of them. I spoke with four, you know who the four would be. You know the people within those. You'd know the companies. I told you the companies, but the people are the greatest in the world. So they're at the hospital, and we'll see.
So that was Donald Trump offering help to the doctors of Boris Johnson. I'm joined by George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times. George, good morning.
Morning.
I must say I was stunned when I watched Donald Trump's press conference last night. I mean, you'd expect the man to be turning water into wine next, but he wants to take charge of everything, including Boris Johnson's care.
I know. Well, I mean, there's quite a lot of fanciful nonsense being taught there by the president, but I think the one thing that most people would agree with him on is that going into an intensive care unit is a big deal. And I suppose, you know, way Donald Trump was trying to show a bit of empathy towards Boris Johnson, a leader with whom he has a pretty good personal relationship. But nevertheless, I think Boris Johnson's in pretty good hands in St. Thomas's Hospital in London and probably can get by without American help. But nevertheless, it's a pretty serious situation.
We were all ambushed by this development last evening because we had assumed that although Boris Johnson didn't look particularly well when he applauded the healthcare workers on Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, people thought that he was on an upward curve, recovering, as indeed we saw Matt Hancock recovering. We thought that his recovery might be similar.
Well, that's right. I mean, all the way through last week, we were told repeatedly that the Prime Minister was suffering from mild symptoms of this disease. And throughout the week, he obviously continued to run a temperature and a cough. And then on Saturday, he said he just had a temperature, but he hoped he'd be back at work soon. And then on Sunday, and indeed on Monday morning, the briefings were that he was still very much on top of this game and taking decisions and all the rest of it. And then suddenly, as you say, like a bombshell last night, about 8 o'clock, they announced he'd gone into an intensive care unit. Now, it's important to say at this stage he's not on ventilation, but he's gone in there as a precaution in case he needs ventilation. And we all know that if you get into that stage, that's a very, very intrusive procedure and also suggests you're in a very, very bad way.
Now, Boris Johnson, although people differ with him politically on many aspects of his policies, he, on a personal level, is kind of well-liked, I would suspect, and messages of sympathy and good wishes have come from right across the political spectrum.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think whatever you think about his politics, and particularly his views on Brexit, which have been very divisive in this country, as you know, as a human being and as a person, I think many people sort of admire the sort of energy and the vigour he shows. And I think, you know, if you look at the opinion polls, before he became ill, his approval ratings were very high in the UK. People thought he was handling the crisis well, even though I think many people in the media have been saying, well, there's been quite a few slip-ups along the way, certainly in terms of ordering medical equipment. But nevertheless, there was a sort of bit of a gathering round the flag type of phenomenon. His approval ratings were very high. And I think the fact that people have seen this person who they associate with being this vigorous sort of force of nature being laid low by this virus was actually quite a profoundly shocking thing. And you've seen that, I think, from the tributes paid to him by opposition leaders in the UK, but also, as you mentioned, the tributes that have been pouring in, or the good wishes that have been pouring in for him from around the world, from people like Trump and Macron in France. There's been a real outpouring of sympathy, and I think a sort of sense that this is a very grave moment.
Now, the problem, and you know, it's maybe a bit inappropriate to talk about it, but his own policies, as informed by Dominic Cummings, could have given rise to his own condition. This idea of seeking herd immunity, not locking down early enough, not encouraging social distancing early enough. I mean, you can actually say that that policy may have led to himself being infected.
Yes, I'm sure that when the inquiries are held into this whole thing, that those what Britain did in the early weeks of the outbreak and the failure to lock down earlier will be poured over, and people will try and sort of draw the lessons from that. I think, as you said at the outset there, Pat, that it's probably not the moment to be describing whether Boris Johnson's the architect of his own ill health. But nevertheless, there were lots of questions raised about why we didn't go into a lockdown situation earlier. And Boris Johnson himself seemed to be sort of taking a fairly breezy approach to this outbreak earlier on. And it was only on the 2nd of March, a little over a month ago, that he chaired the first emergency meeting on the coronavirus crisis. And since then, you know, events have sort of really overtaken the government, and of course now overtaken the Prime Minister himself in terms of his own personal health.
But as you say, perhaps it is the salutary warning that people needed. We saw last weekend many people disobeying the injunction to social distance and all the rest of it. And in a moment, we'll be talking about people in Ireland heading for their holiday homes in the west and south of Ireland for Easter, disobeying the recommendations of government. And we saw the chief medical officer in Scotland losing her position because she disobeyed her own instructions. So perhaps the profound illness of Boris Johnson will actually get people to wise up.
Well, I think so. There was a real concern over the weekend in the British government that people were starting, especially with the good weather arriving over here, that people would start to go outside. I think that was probably overdone a bit. I think most people were still observing the rules, but clearly that was a big concern. But I think the fact that people have seen the country's leader being laid low in this dramatic and frankly quite scary way, I think will reinforce to people that we're not out of the woods by any means. One of the things you've noticed over here, by the way, is that people in government are very anxious to avoid starting to talk about the debate on how we end the lockdown, because at the moment their focus is on keeping the lockdown going, because the disease we expect will peak sometime over the Easter weekend. So certainly for the next 2 or 3 weeks, it's vital that people stay indoors, and I suspect the lockdown will be in place for quite a lot longer than that.
Yeah, Buckingham Palace has been informed of all the developments, of course. Dominic Raab, the Foreign Secretary, taking over, not as Prime Minister, but taking over some of the tasks of the Prime Minister and empowered to make decisions and so on. I mean, government is more than just the PM, more than just the Cabinet, but the person who has most power is, of course, the Prime Minister. Will Dominic Raab have those powers if key decisions are required?
Well, as with most things with the British Constitution, it's all a bit messy. We don't have a clear system as they do in the States, for example. We have a vice president who takes over the executive authority when the president's incapacitated. So Boris Johnson has said that he wants Dominic Raab to carry out his functions as prime minister as necessary. I think that confers quite a lot of authority on Dominic Raab because, as you mentioned earlier, the Prime Minister is a popular figure and there's a lot of sympathy for him, and the fact that he has designated Dominic Raab to stand in for him, I think, gives Dominic Raab that authority. But nevertheless, the authority that Dominic Raab has, and the Prime Minister has, comes via the Cabinet. So I think Dominic Raab will be very keen to ensure that the Cabinet is fully involved in any decisions he makes. And I was just speaking to one fellow Cabinet Minister who said he thought that this situation with Dominic Raab in charge is sustainable for a number of weeks, but beyond that, I suspect if Boris Johnson's laid low for a very long period of time, then the situation may change. But I think for now, Dominic Raab is in charge. But nevertheless, he doesn't have some of the executive authority that the Prime Minister has. For example, he won't be able to hire and fire cabinet ministers. I think it would be very difficult, for example, if another cabinet minister is taken seriously ill, for Dominic Raab to appoint someone to replace him or her. So there are limits to the executive power a stand-in Prime Minister can have. But nevertheless, I think his authority as a deputy is okay at the moment.
George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times. Thank you very much.